The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Legend is up next.
What's going on, Coach Feinbaum?
Legend, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. Doing good, man. Hey, before I get into my legend, I just want to take my legend mask off for a minute and speak to you as Gary. Is that be okay?
That would be wonderful.
I want to apologize for what I said about Nick Saban being a god. That was when I went back and listened to it, it sounded very bad. And I am a big fan of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been really good to me, Paul, and I would never want to do anything to bring shame to his name. And I did that, and I am man enough to apologize to you and the audience, and most of all to my Lord and Savior Jesus for letting that stupidity come out of my mouth.
Well, Legend, first of all, I appreciate your honesty and your apology. I think I probably have some guilt involved there. I overdid. I knew what you were talking about. I didn't really think you were conflating the two, but that's okay. I'm glad you cleared the air.
Well, I'm as the Doobie Brothers said, Jesus is all right with me, Paul.
That's a good song, by the way. I don't mean that religiously either.
No. But now let me put my Spider-Man legend mask back on. And Buddy Martin, big fan. Been a big fan for years. I respect what he says. But he's totally out of line with comparing fans and the crowd throwing bottles and golf balls with what happened in Washington, D.C., Paul. That's totally off base completely. I've been watching football for 50 years. I remember Drew Pearson catching a pass against the Vikings from Roger Staubach in the 70s in the playoffs, and the Viking fan throwing thousands and thousands of things onto the field. But there's a big difference between throwing things on the field, Paul, and actually going on the field and hurting somebody. I've never seen that happen. I did see an idiot in basketball go into the stands and get into a fight, but I've never seen fans at a football game come onto the field and fight and try to hurt people, Paul. I think he was totally out of line with that. Are you in agreement with me or not on that?
I am. I've been critical of the overall behavior of what happened in Knoxville, but there is a difference in what happened there and what happened on January 6th. People did not rush onto the field with the intent to kill, the intent to hurt or maim. That could have happened, but it didn't happen. And as best I know, not a single fan ever got to the field or ever came close to the field.
No, and I know some good Tennessee fans. I have some good friends that are Tennessee fans, and that don't represent all Tennessee fans. Tennessee's been a class university for years, and I think it's unfair to point out a few Harvey Updikes and try to label a whole fan base like they have Alabama over the years over a couple of idiots. I don't think the university ought to have to pay a penny. I think they ought to go through the crowd and take cameras and figure out the idiots that did it and charge them with assault. That's what I think they ought to do. I don't think the university ought to get a black eye or have to pay a penny for it, in my opinion. But I will say this. I've seen some referees that need some golf balls thrown at them. and I'm kidding. But I will tell you something. The referees in the SEC are horrible, Paul. They're disgusted. And if the supervisor of officials are giving these idiots anything other than a grade than an F, he needs to be fired. He's getting paid off. I know it's a hard job, but they are horrible at it, Paul. They are friggin' horrible. I've watched game after game decided by the friggin' referee this year in pro and in college, and it's pitiful. Now, let me say something about Dan Mullen. Most overrated coach in the country, Paul. Absolutely the most overrated coach in the country. if you can't figure out Richardson is a better quarterback than Jones, you are not the best play caller in the nation. And I am so sick of hearing that Dan Mullins is the best player caller in the nation. He's the most overrated bum of a coach in the nation, Paul. And it's disgraceful. When I grew up watching SEC football, it was Alabama, Florida. Alabama, Florida, we're the monsters. Well, now it's Alabama and Georgia, and it don't seem right, Florida. I want it back, Alabama and Florida. Run this bum off. Because all you're ever going to get is 8, 9, 10 wins, and you're never going to be the team that you were supposed to be. And let me say this to Darryl. I heard you say yesterday, Alabama's still number one. I'm proud of you, boy. I'm proud of you. You finally came to the light that you're the Red Sox. I'm the Yankees. You're the Knicks. I'm the Celtics. You're the Padres. I'm the Dodgers. You're the wannabe, dude. I'm the 18-time friggin' world champion. Legend out. Love you, Paul.
Thank you, Legend. Caleb is calling next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Caleb.
I just wanted to say that I think these corn dogs are delusional. They think they're going to hire half these names I've been seeing. Because if this job is so great, how come nobody would take it in 2016 when they fired Les Miles?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the athletic director who was making the hire.
Yeah, well, do you think that there's any chance Dabo Swinney or Lincoln Riley would take it?
No, I don't. I don't think either would be interested, and both would be foolish to be interested. They both have jobs that are equal or better than LSU.
I agree. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. You take care of yourself. John is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. I called earlier. Got cut off. Been fighting afternoon rush hour traffic trying to get back on to you. So
thank
where
you.
I
Glad
was
you
going
made
with
it.
My conversation earlier about Ed Orgeron, I know you've talked a lot in the past about off-field intangibles, locker room issues, personal issues that coaches have and such, you know, leading up to big games. And something that I've thought about over the last couple of days that's not being discussed in media is if you look at LSU's schedule for the rest of the year, one of the teams that they play is a coach that they've asked about the job coming to LSU, and that's Texas A&M Jimbo Fisher. And I find it ironic that Orgeron is not being asked to step down in the middle of the season, but yet he's going to be fired at the end of the season. And it seems to me like if you look at LSU's schedule, the only game that I feel like they even have a chance that's not a 50-50 game or that they won't get slaughtered in is Louisiana Monroe game. They've got A&M, Alabama, Arkansas, and Ole Miss coming up still in conference. All West opponents. And just wanted to get your take on if you think that by them doing what they've done is just to, you know, kind of throw a wrench in the whole coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right, because right now Coach O still has a lot of goodwill. And if he gets hammered by Ole Miss and Alabama and A&M and Arkansas, I think fans might be a lot easier to let him go. I mean, I think the real question is can Ed Orgeron do something he has really not done often in his tenure, and that's have self-control, keep his mouth quiet, not be irrational, and can he finish the season is my question.
Well, and, you know, that's one of the things that I think you talked about maybe, or one of the guys on one of the other shows last week said too, to take a line from Bull Durham, when you're winning, you're colorful. When you're losing, you're just a jerk.
Yeah, he has never been a good loser, and I don't mean that in the sense that anyone is. But you know, I think Ed Orgeron's self-discipline has gotten him in trouble before. He's admitted that.
Right.
He said that was the problem at Ole Miss. And
I think you're looking for the word of being a gracious loser, and I think it was really surprising after the Alabama loss. That Ole Miss had that Lane Kiffin kind of swallowed his pride and made a joke about the whole popcorn thing.
He did.
That's not something I would expect out of Lane Kiffin, because you know, let's face it. I mean, he's brash. He's kind of a, you know, sporty guy, you know, kind of what I would call frat boy attitude. And, you know, he kind of puts his attitude forward a little bit. And I think that kind of bites him in the butt sometimes. But, you know, as long as he's winning and he's in top 15, I think they'll
you're right. I completely, John, I completely agree. I hate to run. Thank you so much for the call. Jim is up next.
I called about something I wanted to ask you about this link I want to send you that you can see for yourself. First of all, I'll say that I heard this piece of a Legends call a while ago, and I didn't hear him do this, but I heard he apologized. Is that right about what he?
That is correct.
What did he say, apologize about?
He said
about,
he was sorry, you know, that he compared Nick Saban to God.
Well done, Legend. That was good, and he was good. He needed to do that, in my opinion. What do you think, Paul?
I was glad to see him do it. I mean, I know him, and you know him, and I don't think he meant what he said. Yeah. But when you say that, it can be confused.
And I know Legend's a fine person at heart and a good guy and things like that, you know. So I was a little bit shocked about it. But I know he's so avid at Alabama football that you can get carried away. I've gotten carried away before, too. But that was over the line, and I'm glad he did that. But I got something else for you. You were talking about that vaccine. Did you hear about this Catholic nun? She might even know Archbishop Marino. I don't know. She's in Rome, Paul. I wonder, did you hear this? Did you see this Catholic nun? You know, I studied under 4 years under Catholic nuns from first grade to fourth grade, and I've never seen any teachers as good as they are. But I didn't want to go to school there because I couldn't play ball there. They had, you know, anyway, bad situation with that. But this woman sounds like a sincere, genuine. I never seen hardly any nun that wasn't really genuinely sincere and good-hearted and everything else. And she puts out, she's got a link here, and I just want to ask you, do you want me to send you that link? And you can listen to what she says, and it's pretty strong stuff. So I wouldn't talk about it on the air, but I would hope you would listen.
Yeah, please
to it
do. I would like to see it.
Okay, I'll send it to your regular address. You know, of course, I've got that email.
Well, thank you, Jim, for doing that.
Well, look for it, and I'll send it to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We are coming right back. We hope you will do so as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here and taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. What an afternoon it has been already. And Mel is up next. Hey, Mel, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Happy Tuesday.
Good afternoon.
You didn't use the word, but this has been a bat crazy show.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a good one. I'm glad you came up with a word for me.
Yeah, we all knew what you were talking about. Anyway, I wanted to, another angle that I thought about with Ed Orgeron is a parallel between a couple of Alabama coaches. And I think you know who I'm talking about.
I sure do.
Mike Price and Mike DuBose. Of course, Mike Price never coached a game, but Mike DuBose hit the pinnacle when he was coach, won the SEC in, what, 99?
Yeah.
And then spiraled out of control after that. And do you think it's just because they were over their head, they couldn't stand the success, they couldn't stand the pressure or the power, whatever?
Yeah, I'm not a sociologist or a psychologist, but let's be honest, Mel. These are all hardworking guys who are used to being in the background, especially in DeBose's case. And I was fairly close to him and that situation. And all of a sudden, he's the most famous person in the state, making millions of dollars, and the temptations are greater than they've ever been. And I don't know, you know, a lot of us are, I'm not sure I could have handled it, and he certainly couldn't. Now, in O's case, the disappointing part of this was a redemption job. This wasn't his first outing. He had already failed at that. And he had learned from it. And I don't want to, I just got through saying what I don't want to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. You can almost mark the line of demarcation between the moment he and his wife split up to when all these things started happening. And I'm guessing, and I've only met her a couple of times, but she was really a remarkable woman. And I'm just guessing that she was the rock in that foundation that kept him together, that supported him. And when they broke up, he did not have that. And by the way, who think about all of us. You know, he was married for 20 some odd years, and all of a sudden that's no longer there. I can't imagine going down that road myself or you or anybody else. So I'm just simply making a point, and, you know, I think he lost perspective.
Well, I can attest to that with my wife. She certainly keeps me on the right track. But what this deal with him finishing out the season, that's kind of unprecedented. Surely that's got to have some effect on recruits. All his staff is looking for an exit strategy right now. What is that all about?
Mel, I have not. I have seen this occasionally where a coach will get fired with one game remaining or two games remaining, and they just simply let the coach finish the season because it's so late. But I don't believe I've ever seen one in the middle of the season, and we are literally at the midpoint of the season, do that. I think it's a dangerous precedent. I think there are certainly reasons to think it won't work. He said he offered to help in recruiting. He can't help in recruiting right now. He's not going to.
No.
There's not one player that wants to hear from Ed Orgeron. They want to hear from the new coach.
There's an early signing period in December.
Exactly.
What are the assistants that are recruiting going to tell these people?
Well, you just said the most important thing. Forget Coach O. He's got nowhere else to go. If you're one of his assistants, you're looking for a job today. You're not concentrating on the game Saturday.
Exactly. And that's what I don't understand, because surely it's got to hurt. But what, if you'll indulge me just for a moment before I hang up, to Christopher in Alabama, I'm almost 75. I'm a man of faith. I had the vaccine, and it probably saved my life. So, Christopher, I wish you'd read Proverbs 3:5-6. Maybe you wouldn't be so fearful. And to those people who yesterday jumped on you for allegedly kicking a man while he was down and jumping on Coach O, they haven't listened to you or your show very long. They don't know who you are, and they don't respect you. Shame on you, people. Thanks, Paul.
Mel, thank you very much, and thanks for sharing with you. The one thing I regretted yesterday is that I don't think I gave enough credit to the writer, Brody Miller, who was on here. He wrote a fabulous article in The Athletic about some of the reasons that led to Coach O's dismissal. And I think I put him in an awkward spot, and I deeply regret that because and I've shared that with him today, because I just he was doing his job, and I had read the article, and I wanted him to share, but I think by the time he came on here, he had heard enough and had been assailed enough by people about what he wrote that I think he was less than excited about talking about some aspects of what he had to say. We will come back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back, and we are glad you are, too. Eric is up next in Georgia. Hello, Eric. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
How's everything with you?
I know. It's going well. I know you've been questioned your medical background and everything like that. But I'm a doctor that trained in the University of Oklahoma. And I want to ask you about the vaccine and what your thoughts are about it.
Well, doctor, I know the same as almost every layperson. So I do what I hope your patients have done. And that's depend on a physician for advice, which I have done, which I have done. And as a result, I've taken the vaccine.
Okay, my question to you is, if we know that we can check antibodies for hepatitis B, hepatitis C, chickenpox, measles, mumps, rubella, why can't these people test for the antibodies and be cleared for taking the vaccine?
I mean, Eric, you're asking me, you know, why you couldn't do that in lieu of the vaccine or to facilitate taking the vaccine?
No, in lieu of it. Because
Okay.
If you take the test and you have antibodies for the virus,
right,
and they're positive and high, why can't you just do that and skip the vaccine and not lose your job?
That I don't know. I mean, I think it's an interesting question. I think at a lot of places, they have offered two things. You could either, and you know this already, but you either take the vaccine or you're tested at fairly short intervals. So I guess that's what you're suggesting. But
no, I'm not suggesting that.
Well, whether you're suggesting or not, that's the way it is. I think ultimately it depends on where you are and where you work. Where I work, it's a requirement. Obviously, in other places, it's not. So, I can make that choice. I can quit my job like the coach at the University of Washington State.
I'm
not going to be able to answer your question very well because I don't know enough.
But science dictates that if you have antibodies, you don't need the vaccine.
Well, listen, you perhaps you're right. I mean, what's your degree in? What's your specialty?
Internal medicine.
Okay. So, what are you in? Do you do private practice or some other sort of practice?
Private practice, but I've taken care of patients who are in the hospital.
So, what do you do when your patients ask you about the vaccine?
I say there's 4.5 billion vaccines given out. It's safe. And I say that I've had it, my family's had it, and we're good. But okay. I also say, do you need the vaccine if you have antibodies after having the virus?
Oh, so you're saying after having the virus. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, I hear you. I misunderstood that. I'm sorry.
So if you do, then why do you need the vaccine?
Well, doctor, I simply cannot answer that question because I do not have a medical degree, and I have very limited understanding of this field.
Well, I understand that, but that's the question I'm asking people across the country. Okay. Is, you know, I get tested for hepatitis B, I get tested for, you know, antibodies for other viruses. to keep my job, to make sure I'm safe for the patients I'm seeing. Why can't we do that for this virus?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think we can't? Or why are we not?
I have no idea, and that's been bugging me since the day this has started.
Okay.
And I would like the SEC to answer that question. We're coming in from the University of Oklahoma. That's where I graduated from. And I want to know why we can't answer that question.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll look into it. I mean, I'm curious now that you've raised it. You certainly have the credentials to offer an opinion, or I don't, but I can certainly ask the right people.
Well, I would appreciate that, because it's been just something that's bugged me from day one of COVID.
Okay. It's certainly fair, and I know just the people to ask. So I'll do that, Doc, and you stay in touch, and we can't wait to get the Sooners on board. Dan is up next in Louisiana.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, what are we going to do now? With losing, with Coach O gone, and what's your opinion on which way we should go? I have an opinion,
the only thing I know, and I'll tell you this, I know Scott Woodward very well. I have tremendous respect for him. He's the athletic director. He's a really smart, sensible person, and I have seen him hire coaches in the past and have always been very impressed.
Well, so far from what I've heard and, you know, what I know about him, he's hitting home runs, but I think the pool is kind of limited. A proven winner, you know, someone that has won a championship or at least a divisional championship.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan. If you could hire anyone you would like to hire, who would it be?
Probably Dabo Swinney.
Okay. Don't think that's happening.
I don't think it will. I've heard that he has no interest, but why is Mac Brown being brought up? He's too old, or he's not doing good enough at North Carolina?
Have you seen North Carolina this year?
No.
Okay. They started the season number 10 in the country, and I think they've lost how many games? Three, four?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've just... You know,
I love Mac Brown. He's a friend of mine, but he's not in contention right now. Hey, we hate to break up the great call. I'm going to get tested for antibodies during the break, so I'll report back and see what we found.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back as we get ready for a lot of things on this program, including the basketball season as the SEC buildup to basketball continues. And we are delighted to welcome Johnny Harris to our program, the new women's coach at Auburn University. Coach, first of all, I know the congratulations are moving on as you're getting ready for the season, but it's great to have you in the league. And you've been in the league before. You know the territory very well.
Absolutely, yeah. I spent 8 years at Mississippi State, so had an opportunity to play, you know, lots of games in this league. So I'm excited to be back.
Well, you've been with Coach Schaefer, who we know very well and have tremendous respect for, and I know you were with him last year. I know you've been with him and Gary Blair, another one of our all-time favorites at Texas A&M. What did you learn from both of those gentlemen to help you get ready for this opportunity?
You know, I guess first and foremost is to be prepared. You know, both of those guys work extremely hard. So I got a chance to see what that looked like every day. And they were always prepared. So that's the biggest thing I learned is to be prepared.
I always enjoyed when I would talk to both of them occasionally together. I mean, they were close friends, but all I heard them talking about was, you know, which one was better on the golf course. So maybe you're happy to be away from both of them right now and charting your own course.
Absolutely. But I think they were both pretty good on the golf course. They both spent a lot of time out there.
That's exactly. And by the way, when you win like those two men have won, you can do whatever you want when recruiting has come to an end. So talk about what it's been like adjusting now that, I mean, COVID's not over, but at least it's better than it was a year ago, and you can do a lot more things. So tell us what your odyssey has been like since landing in Auburn.
Oh man! So probably the hardest thing was finding furniture. furniture's been really hard, but you know, just getting here, getting settled, learning the culture here, and creating our own culture here, getting to know the girls, the university. This is an amazing place. The fans are great. I get to work next to Bruce Pearl every day, so that's been amazing. Everybody is so supportive, and I think there's a lot of excitement around women's basketball and what we're doing.
You know what's interesting? Sometimes, Coach, you have to go to a place and completely turn the culture upside down, but Auburn, with Coach Champy many years ago and others since then, you know, has a really great tradition of basketball. So what's it? Is it all about the same thing, and that's getting great players in there?
It is. It's about getting great players, and that's the first thing that we did. We, you know, hit the ground running. Recruiting was first and foremost. So I have a tremendous staff, and they work extremely hard, and we've been out recruiting a lot.
Certainly, your reputation as a recruiter is well known. I mean, you've been considered, you know, with both of the stops and others along the way, as one of the preeminent recruiters. And do you recruit? I mean, I'm curious because you're recruiting to different places, but you're also recruiting to a mindset and a culture. Could you describe what the recruiting process is all about and what you focus on the most when you're trying to get a young lady to a campus?
Right. So for me, it's recruiting to a fit. We have always recruited to a fit. So players that fit our system, and, you know, we look for toughness, you know, physical players, aggressive players, because of the way we want to play, both on the offensive and defensive end. So, you know, we go out and target those players that, you know, fit our system.
In terms of Auburn, it doesn't seem all that different. I've been all over the SEC, obviously, as you have. There are some similarities to Mississippi State, I would think, it's in terms of the family, the community. Do you find it that way?
Yes, family atmosphere. This community is all about Auburn. And the people here are just great, very supportive. I couldn't ask for a better fit.
Coach, what do you think it's going to be like when you walk out there in a couple of weeks? You've been a great assistant. You've done everything there is to do, but now you're going to be a head coach in the Southeastern Conference.
You know, it's going to be exciting. The thing with working with Coach Blair and Coach Schaefer is, you know, being prepared. So I feel like I've been preparing for this, you know, for the last 15 years. So it'll be exciting. I know we're a program that's rebuilding. So we're going to have some tough days, but we're up for the challenge. I'm looking forward to building this program.
Coach Shawnee Harris, first-year coach at Auburn University. Thank you so much, Coach. All the best.
Thank you.
And we welcome all of you back. We're great. More basketball guests a little bit later. Bruce Pearl among them and Nate Oates. Let's check in with Brandon, who is next in Mississippi. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
Brandon, quite well. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I was wanting to call and tell you how a first time caller. I mean, I've listened to your show for several years, and trying to call in, it took over 380 times.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm really delighted that it should not take that long.
So be honored. So be honored.
I'm flabbergasted.
I was listening to that fellow they call Legend and Jim, and I totally respect what they said earlier, but the guy that called in about the vaccination thing, because I was on hold, I lost all four of my grandparents to the COVID thing, and I lost them within 16 days of each other. All four.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, years ago, you know, you were told you had to get the polio vaccination, and you had to do this and that and other and all. It's just a vaccination. It's not going to hurt you. I mean, I got it. It ain't hurt me. It ain't hurt none of my family. You know, it's just, I don't understand why. And I'm not trying to be a part of big government or nothing like that. I mean, I'm trying to be like a human being that wants to live, you know. But when you see four people die within 16 days of that, it's kind of a wake-up call, sir. And I totally didn't want to get off on a tangent on that. But another thing I want to say about the coaching situation there at LSU is coaches have a whole lot of pressure on them. I played college ball years and years ago, and they make umpteen amounts of money, and they are expected to put a excellent product on the field. I remember years ago that was kind of a thing, but it wasn't really a thing. It was just, you know, about going out and playing football or playing basketball or baseball, whatever it was. But nowadays, it just seems to be, Mr. Paul, it seems to be just nothing but about pure doggone money. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I do appreciate your phone call and let me get in. You're very popular.
Well, Brandon, I can't thank you enough for your perseverance, and I hope we will talk again very, very soon. Greg is up next in Alabama. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Quite well, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. And I caught the conversation you had with the doctor, and like you, I'm just a layman. My wife deals a lot more with that than I do, but I think one of the concerns with the antibodies is that they don't know how long it takes or how long they last and to what degree, and that's something that they're studying right now. But I also know that people that had the vaccine or the virus and then within a year had it a second time. So even if we would have antibodies built up, I don't think it's a lifetime of immunity.
Yeah,
at least.
As you know, I think, and I'm going to speak out of school here, but part of the reason that doctors recommend the virus is not to save your life. It's to protect you if you get it and maybe lessen the degree of illness, which could save your life if you have immune issues or underlying conditions. Now, again, I violated my own oath of that I'm not a doctor, but I'm thinking about becoming a psychiatrist so I can treat myself after the first hour and a half.